sermon that God has laid upon my heart this morning is called Shaking It to the Streets. And it's Pride Sunday once again. And I want to say, first of all, that we are not the only community in this country of the world that has been the recipient of numerous acts of violence. Countless others have borne the burden of hatred and persecution. I must also point out that we are not the only people who have been called to be salt in this earth. However, this is Pride Sunday. This is our day, a day to claim our legacy. This is our moment once again to establish the framework of our lives. And it's a moment to celebrate our heritage as a movement. So I'm asking you today to take this opportunity to proclaim that we are indeed a people of God. With the recent tragedy in Orlando, it seems that we all face Pride Sunday this year with a mood of intense sadness and deep reflection. I've been meditating all week on the journey of us, you and I, and all of our LGBTI brothers and sisters. As our reading states today, we have all certainly been the recipients of persecution and insults. Down through the ages, we have been violated without relief. Even more recently, in my lifetime, in your lifetime, the violence has been relentless. All we have really wanted to do is to live our lives authentically. We have earnestly desired the freedom to love each other. This is the right and the call of all human beings. And we have boldly stood up for righteousness, only to be shot down again and again, both figuratively and literally. We have resolved to speak up, only to be slapped down and dismissed. Those who put themselves in charge decided that our hopes and dreams were worthless and illegitimate. There's not time to lay out the historical details of all that we've experienced in our lifetime this morning. But as we have lived this life together, I believe I can make my point with some basic general reflections. So part of what we do today, every year, is to remember. There was the beginning of our contemporary movement with the Stonewall riots at the bar in New York City on June 28, 1969. The Pride parades began a year later on the anniversary of this event, and they continue to grow today. But before that historic event, it's worth noting that in 1964, in order to protect the image of the city during the New York World's Fair, the police began to revoke the liquor licenses of many of the bars and nightclubs that had an LGBT clientele. They used entrapment techniques to arrest and illegally drive, in their words, this undesirable element out of the city. In San Francisco in 1966, there was the Compton's Cafeteria riots. These riots were in response to a police raid on drag queens and hustlers and transvestites who were simply gathering to eat at Compton's Cafeteria. And then on October 6th, 1968, a few months before the Stonewall riots, Troy Perry met for church in his living room in Huntington Park with 12 people and began the United Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches. Within 12 months, the Los Angeles Mother Church had a congregation of more than 1,200, and today we are proud to be part of this worldwide movement. Then on June 24th in 1973, an arsonist set fire to the upstairs lounge in New Orleans, killing 32 individuals. The New York Times this week wrote an article that listed 25 violent attacks on gay bars and nightclubs in this country. The attack at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando was the worst mass shooting in the United States history. Our community, here's my point, our community is no stranger to violence and hatred and persecution. In our own personal lives, we have been abused by our family members, our teachers, coaches, and clergy. We have been bullied and beat up and cast out and mocked. We have been tied to fence posts at midnight on the prairie in Wyoming and left to die. Around the world, we have been brutally executed by rogue regimes. We are still fighting this battle of injustice and ignorance in hundreds of places across the globe. And yet, in spite of all these things, in the face of all this horror and mayhem, I believe that we continue the work of Troy Perry. I believe that things continue to progress for the better. In the wake of this past week, it may seem hard to fathom that statement. It certainly has not gotten better for those who lost their lives and who lost their loved ones in Orlando. But with every tragedy, there comes a bit of triumph. It is that triumph that redeems the tragedy. This triumph finds its source in our response to the tragedies that we face. We find the truth of this observation in the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said to his disciples and his followers, "You are the salt of the earth." This is both a statement of truth and a command. We could say it like this: you are to be the salt of the earth. So, on being salt, let me say this. Our saltiness is related to how we live out our integrity in this world. Our saltiness is a result of the 100 things we say and the other 100 things that we do every single day. The words we use in response to how we are treated, the things we do in our treatment of others. Every time we open our mouths to respond, we're like a salt shaker, sprinkling out a few granules into a certain situation. Every time we lift a hand, we contribute to a momentum stream that changes things. This is how we find a bit of triumph in the tragedy. So I want to unpack with you for a few minutes today some specifics that give us some insight on the scope of this call to be salt. The first thing I want to mention is this: a little bit of salt goes a long way. It doesn't take a pound of salt to season a big pot of soup. Just a bit sprinkled here and there is all it takes to flavor the dish. A cook can have all the right tools and utensils. The cook can utilize the finest and freshest ingredients. They can study under world-class chefs and become experts in the finest techniques. The master chef can execute those techniques perfectly. Yet if they leave out a little bit of salt, the dish is considered a failure. Yes, a little bit of salt goes a long way. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." And then we know that salt adds flavor. I want to remind you how dull and flat food is without salt. Salt is the completing seasoning. It pulls all the other flavors together and makes food irresistible. How flat and dull would society be without the contributions of our community? Our involvement in society completes the recipe. We have unique gifts. These gifts enable us to contribute unique perspectives to the entire scope of society. Your voice, my friend, is needed everywhere. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." I'm going to start preaching in a minute if you'll give me a chance. Salt makes itself known. That's the next thing. When I was a kid and all the relatives would get together, we did this thing that was almost a ritual. We would make homemade ice cream. You ever done that? I don't hear of people doing that much anymore, but we used to do it. Yum, yum, yum. It was so many of us cousins, we would make two or sometimes three different kinds. And so we would crank it. We didn't have electric ones. We were poor. We had the hand crank ones. Boy, as a youngster, that was a tough turn. And you used the ice and the salt. And when it was finished, we couldn't wait to get the lid off there. Sometimes before we got it out of the pranking bin. And inevitably, some of that salt water would run over into the ice cream. And when we tasted that first bite that we couldn't wait to get a hold of, we didn't taste the sweet ice cream. We tasted that salt. Salt makes itself known. When the salt is present in the mix, you know it's there. You can taste it above and beyond anything else. What did Jesus say? You are the salt of the earth. And then we find that salt preserves. If you please, salt keeps meat from rotting. Salt is the ingredient that's used to cure ham and preserve meat. They used to preserve barrels of fish in salt to keep it from spoiling. Smelly, nasty, rotten things do not thrive or survive in the presence of salt. Salt preserves the goodness of things so you can use them for your nourishment. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." And then we find that salt irritates. I remember as a kid, we'd go to Arkansas where my mother's family lived almost every summer. And one time I had a terrible sunburn, really, really, about the worst one I ever remember having. And we all gathered one evening over at Uncle Thurman and Aunt Trix's house. Yeah, it was in Arkansas, Uncle Thurman and Aunt Trix. And their youngest child, Jerry Don, was quite a little prankster. And somewhere out there between the outhouse and the well and the barn, we gathered to cut watermelon. And of course, you have to salt the watermelon when you're eating it. And Jerry Don got the bright idea of how fun it would be to sprinkle a bunch of salt down my t-shirt on that sunburn. That was one of the most painful things because that salt was irritating to that burn. In fact, they had to take off my shirt and hose me down to get it to stop. One of the characteristics of salt is that it irritates. Now comes the annual telling of my pride story. Remember, I tell this every year. For 4 or 5 years in a row, I had a gospel group here called the Joyful Sound. We were the opening act at the waterfront for 4 or 5 years. And the first year we were there, there was the group down there on the corner when we got up to sing that had all the signs. God hates fags. All fags are going to hell. Homosexuals are an abomination. You know, that kind of hate talk. That kind of hate talk. And they were yelling and screaming and waving their signs. And we got up there on stage singing about the love of God. And this is a true story. By the time we got through the second half of the second verse of the very first song, I looked over there and something had happened. They did not know what to deal with us. They vanished. They were gone. And they didn't come back for the whole concert. Something in what we were doing and saying so irritated them, they had to get out of there. Salt irritates. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." And then another thing about salt is that salt makes us thirsty. Are you with me? Our fast food restaurants teach us this fact. Their food is often extremely salty. This creates a craving for something to quench the thirst. Well, bingo for them. They get to sell you a big gulp. And soft drinks are one of their highest profit margin items on their whole menu. Eating salty food makes us thirsty. This fact has helped to build financial empires. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Have you made anybody thirsty lately? This was made clear to me in a profound way recently. I was remembering that it's been a year since the shooting at the Emmanuel AME Church in South Carolina. I remember vividly how the family members of the victims spoke out about how they could not hate the perpetrator. They spoke boldly about their intense grief, but also their resolve to forgive. Folks, I have to tell you, this was salty talk. I have wondered ever since then how I would respond. Their words made me thirsty. The words drove me to desire a closer walk with the Lord. Their words spoke profoundly to me. Now I want to let the mind of Christ also be in me. As a result of their saltiness, I have been compelled to reconsider how I might respond. I also recall a very moving moment this week after the shooting in Orlando. I saw this on television on Sunday evening. A newscaster was speaking to a young black man who had been inside when the shooting was taking place. Some of you may have seen this. His being black was significant to me because the black community has been on the receiving end of unreasonable hatred and extreme violence. They've endured this reality for generations in this, our land of liberty. As this young man spoke, he began to weep, softly, deeply, intensely. From down in his soul, the tears rolled down his face. He wasn't sobbing uncontrollably. He wasn't carrying on in an angry rant. This is what he said through his tears. "I don't understand why there is so much hatred in this world. You know what? I don't understand it either." In his saltiness, he caused me to understand that we are hurt by these things. We are wounded so deeply that no amount of anger or revenge can ever make it right. The Bible says in Proverbs that a soft answer turneth away wrath. I want to respond like that. I want the Spirit of God to be so present in me that I will respond in that way. I want to be so filled with the presence of God that my words will impact every person and every situation that I encounter. Salt makes you thirsty, thirsty for more of God. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." And when we are fulfilling our call to be salt, I believe we will make people spiritually thirsty. And then finally this morning, I want to say this to you. For more than four generations, Morton Salt has used a marketing slogan describing their salt. You recognize that? When it rains, it pours. This is absolutely correct because each grain of salt is sealed. It is coated by sodium bicarbonate. And no matter what the weather is, the salt will still pour. No matter how wet or damp it is, the grains of salt do not clump up and stick together, but that you can shake them and pour the salt. I want you to know this today, that you and I have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. No matter what the situation, no matter how hard it may seem, we can still be poured. We can still be effective. We can still be used of God to make a difference because we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." And so as you go from this place, know that God has called and enabled us to be the salt of the earth. In response to persecution or violence or hatred or mistreatment, wherever we are, shake your shaker in the streets, in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, in your homes. Shake your salt shaker. Through our words, through our every action, through our living, through our very breath, we are shaking it to the streets. We are being the salt Christ has called us to be, and we will find a bit of triumph in every tragedy. May God bless these words to your lives and your hearts this morning. Amen.
I've been praying all this week about, what's been going on in the nation and how it affects us as believers. And the scripture keeps coming to mind about those who